Last time we checked in with Jason Morgan, who is the CEO of the original Chop Shop. He was just putting one in my neighborhood. They were expanding all over Texas. They were putting one in Preston. It was just under construction in Preston Forest. It's been open a while now, and there are a lot more of them spread around the country. Jason Morgan joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. So I hope the Preston Forest location is doing well for you.
It's doing great. Really, really great. We're really happy with that location, and really happy with everything, really. Things are pretty wonderful here.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, this is a concept. I mean, you started at three. You're up to, what did you say, 27 now?
27 locations, yes.
So you've really ramped up. You've ramped up pretty quickly. But also, it seems like there's a real consumer demand for food that's at least not bad for you, probably good for you. I mean, I watched Cava, your old company, Zoe, you were at Zoe's, I know, and then Cava bought Zoe's, and they went public, and that's like just exploded last year. And it looks like there's a demand for this product.
There is a demand for the product, and believe it or not, there really aren't a whole lot of folks out there supplying the product, which is odd. Like especially if you get out into the suburbs and in Dallas and some of these other southeastern cities, you see a row of fast food restaurants, but you don't see a lot of quality, better for you, fast casual restaurants that people get something fairly healthful and get it quickly at an affordable price. And so that's where we think we play in that space, and then we think we're winning in that space.
Yeah, and you are. So you're in Texas, and in a pretty big way right now. But the company was founded, and you're based here. I know you're based in Plano, but the company was founded in Arizona, right?
Yes, founders live in Arizona. The first couple of stores were in the Scottsdale area, Tempe area. We bought the brand back in 2016 with three units. Have grown it now to 27. We have 10 in Arizona, 9 in the Phoenix area, 1 in Tucson. We have 10 in DFW. We have 3 in Houston now, 1 in College Station that we opened about 30 days ago, and then 3 in Atlanta.
Wow. So do you have it down now? You got your formula? You know where you want them to be and what they should look like? And I know you've got corner locations, I notice.
Yeah, we're close. Like we keep refining what we're doing, you know, every day, every week. Most recently in January, we reduced our menu by 18 items across the board.
You reduced your menu?
We did. Yeah, we have one of the biggest menus out there in the fast casual space, and really one of the key differentiators of what we're doing versus what everybody else is doing. Like if you go to Cava, you're going to get a Mediterranean bowl, and that's pretty much what you're going to get. If you go to Chipotle, you're going to get a Mexican bowl. If you go to a hot chicken concept or a burger concept, most everybody's very singularly focused in terms of menu. Our menu is very diverse, and even with the reduction of 18 items, we still have 50 plus items on the menu, and we sell everything from protein bowls to salads to sandwiches to juice, protein shakes, breakfast. We really just sort of span a wide range that you don't see anyone really trying to do that these days. Most people are going the opposite direction, trying to do very singular focused right. menu.
Well, I know you own Bellegreen's also, and Bellegreen has some locations here, but it's a smaller concept. But are they different points, or are you beginning to lean more toward the original Chop Shop?
Yeah, so we sold Bellegreen actually about 2 years ago.
Oh, you did?
So there's a local company called Ampex Brands that bought the business from us in July of 22. And we have now focused all of our efforts on growing Chop Shop from here forward.
Boy, it has been a while since we talked then. So tell me about business right now. I mean, we've been watching the consumer price index and the producer price index, and we've all been hearing about the price of eggs, and people are getting shocked when they go to the grocery store. How's your business? Are you seeing inflation?
So our business from a sales standpoint is really, really strong. We had a great couple year period post-COVID where people were looking for, I think, what we were selling. Yeah. And then a lot of competition came into our markets, and we had some softness for about 18 months. But for the past 9 months, we are same store sales positive across the brand, very consistent across markets. For the last 6 months, we are traffic positive, which is pretty unheard of these days in a lot of smaller restaurants, meaning that our check count this year is bigger than our check count last year, and not in a small way. We're up 11% transactions in our P3. Year to date, we're up close to 8-9% transactions. And so from a sales standpoint, things are pretty remarkable and sort of humming along. College Station was our best opening ever in terms of what we did the first day and the first week, and we've held on to that to those sales volumes. From a cost standpoint, we've seen labor pretty much flatten out, and so that's a good thing. We've seen years and years of labor, you know, hourly wage increases, salary wage increases. That seems to have flattened out for us in the past 13, 14 months. But we continue to see some inflation on commodities, especially proteins. We sell eggs, but we don't sell a lot of eggs, so the crazy increased price in eggs has hurt us, but not as much as chicken pricing or beef pricing, which remains pretty inflated versus prior year and historical patterns.
That's just part of the business, so I guess you have to roll with that, because there's always going to be periods when whether it's surcharges on deliveries because of fuel prices or whatever, but it's just the business.
Yes, that's correct. And you try to do things. You know, we part of the rationale around the menu change was positioning or pushing people from high priced steak items to chicken items, or we had a couple different things we did there that trying just to help as much as we can in terms of efficiency from a cost standpoint.
So tell me about, let's go back to the model again, because I'm intrigued. But you're open a long time. You're open from, it looks like, mostly 7 o'clock in the morning till 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So you're talking about, I guess, two shifts of work in there. But that's a big window. Do you stay busy all the time?
We stay busy most of the time. There's rarely an hour that goes by in the day that we're not doing $200 to $300 in sales, which allows us to get to pretty elite, $2+ million average volumes across our brand. In some of our suburban stores, we changed the open hours to be 9 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock because we weren't seeing the breakfast period that people show up. It's hard to change those patterns, but in most shops, it's a steady stream of people. To the point where I have friends in the restaurant business, and they'll come to me and they'll say, "Man, I'm so sorry that your store, XYZ store, is so slow." And I'm like, "Man, it's not slow. It's like a top producer in our brand." And what they see is they're in there, and just people are coming and going. People are coming and going, and they may be in there at a period where there's nobody coming and going, but it's a steady stream all day.
That's interesting. So you don't have the lunch peak and dinner peak, not in my location, you don't have a drive-through window. And I talked to a lot of people in your business that tell me, you know, having a drive-through window saved us during COVID.
Yep.
And now we all want, you know, end caps, and we want to have drive-through windows.
Yep. So we do have a big lunch push. So lunch is super busy in most of our locations. And we have pickup windows in 4 of our 27 locations there that you have to order ahead and pick it up as you drive through. But what saved us through all post-COVID was we were ready from a digital standpoint. And so we had online ordering set up. We were using one of the best-in-class providers, Olo, to do that. And we have pushed that convenience and just the ability to get your food fast and do it electronically. We've doubled down and put kiosk in the restaurants, which has been a big help. That's been in the last year. So not only can you order at a counter with a real live human if you want, but you can also use the kiosk if you know what you want and you're in a hurry. And so if you look at our digital transactions, we're running about 54% digital. And if you included the kiosk, we're running about 67, 68% digital in terms of our sales. It's higher than anyone in the fast casual space. Chipotle, Cava are in the 37, 38% range. Sweetgreen is close, right around the same number that we are. But I would argue that they position their stores in a way that people don't want to eat inside of them because there's no seats, right? So, we have big dining rooms. We still want people in the restaurant, but we're getting north of 50% digital sales, and over half of that's coming directly through our website or our app.
So what did you learn about locations? You were saying that College Station you just opened was a big hit. Is that college students that are coming there?
It's it's a combination. The beauty of the College Station location is it sits close enough to the school for the students to be able to walk to it, but it also is far enough away from the school for the housewives that live in College Station to want to come as well. Sometimes if you get buried in the college campuses, the housewives won't make that trek into the college. For us, what happened in College Station is Very reminiscent of what happens when we open stores in the home market of Phoenix. People walked in the first day and knew who we were. And so people, students that lived in Houston or Dallas, and they were in College Station at A&M for school, they knew who we were. They were excited that we were there. They brought their sororities, brother or sorority sisters, fraternity brothers. They brought the roommates. They brought the friends, and it was pretty immediate awareness and adoption. And it's something that we just haven't seen to date as we opened Dallas at the beginning, or when we opened Houston, or we opened Atlanta. It's been a real struggle for us to get brand awareness quickly.
Yeah.
And what we believe that when people find the brand and experience the brand, they like the brand, they'll come back. And so it was just immediate at College Station, which was a great pleasant surprise to see.
So one last quick question. So you're at 27 right now. I think you were probably maybe a half a dozen the last time we spoke. Where are you going to be when we talk in a year? How many?
Yeah, so we're going to do one more location this year. It's going to be in the Central Phoenix area, which we're really excited about. We're hopefully within 30 days of being under construction there. And then we are tasked with, and this is an interesting point to our model. We have fantastic investors, but our investors want us to be self-funding, which means that we have to drive EBITDA to be able to build new stores, and or drive EBITDA to be able to borrow against that EBITDA to drive new stores. And I don't have the luxury of some of these other bigger brands that you're aware of, that at 30 restaurants they'd raise $150 million and never made money.
Well, but you don't get out of your skis that way too.
So we've raised fractional amounts of what those folks have raised to get to close to 30 stores. We've been positive EBITDA every year we've run the business. And so for 2026, we hope to do somewhere between 4 and 6 locations, and those will be within the current 4 major markets that we're located. So we've got a site in Fort Worth that we're working. We've got a couple sites in Houston that we're working. We got a site in Uptown that we're working. And so our hope, and a site in Phoenix that is a signed LOI and ready to go. So 4 to 6 existing markets, and we'll be north of 30 units at the end of next year.
Jason Morgan is the CEO, the owner of the original Chop Shop. It's good to spend some time with you again and catch up. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks
for more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.